time that they could get together and bring this about. And so a lot of work and a lot of effort went into to making this possible. We thank you once again. We thank the family and we thank the friends as well. I think Tammy has something she'd want to say to the church. Yes. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And we want to continue to, yes, give a round of applause on the help and everything that was done. And again, you know, I am very a believer in outreach. I am a believer in helping those that that need help and those that are needing assistance and help in any way. And I that's one thing I like about this church. This church is such a loving church. And I've always said, if you can't find the love in your own local church, where can you find the love at? Because the love starts within the house of the Lord. And that's what he says. Jesus says that we are to love one another as he loves us, we are to love others. And so with that, I thank those in the participation and those that are helping as always. Always be salt and light to those that you come in contact with. Always be the servant that you serve. You know, have a servant's heart. That was one of those things that my sister always shared as I use her as an example. She had a servant's heart. She always served and never wanted any recognition of anything throughout her whole life. She just wanted to keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. And she did all the way to the day she died. And so I've learned a lot in that area that we need to be servants, because Jesus says, I have come not to be served, but he says, I've come to serve. And that's what we are to do. We are to serve. We are to encourage one another. We are to lift one another up. Life is too short, folks. Life is too short to put people down, to bring people down. We live in a world and society where we need to be lifted up. We need all the love that we can get. And that's what Jesus has come. Jesus has come, as we will look through this miracle series that I've got here, is that we look to the miracle. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, for God sent His one and only Son to this world that He may share His love for you and I. And love goes so far that we will never be able to understand how much God truly loves us. And I thank God today for the miracle child. And the miracle child is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at this today. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. And it's a familiar Christmas story that you and I know and that we have heard possibly every year. And in this, the title of my message today is The Manger, The Messengers, and The Message. The Manger, The Messengers, and The Message. And in this passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, there is a lot of things that go on at one time. And I want you to know that God is a God, and He is a multiple task God. In other words, He doesn't just focus in on one thing. He doesn't just focus in on one person or one subject. God is a God that knows everything. He sees everything. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in my life. God is a God of multitask, because there's many things that God can do at one time. And there's many things that God can see at one time. And so let it not be a surprise unto us on what God can do, because we see the miracle child that God sent unto us to set us free, and to know that they would be a deliverer that would deliver us from sin, to deliver us from a place called hell, and to make heaven our home, and it would happen through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see this as the story unfolds. In Luke 2 and 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them." Can I hear an amen to God's word? Now that you see that there are a lot of things going on, as we see in this passage, there is so much going on that it even surprised Mary, because the Bible says she pondered to all of this that was going on. This was a woman born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She was selected. She was brought to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Can you imagine this? 14 years old. Can you imagine a young lady that's going to have a child, and this child was coming forth, and God had impregnated her to bring the child into this world, and yet there were many things that were taking place. The manger was being developed. The messengers was being developed. The message was being developed. So many things that were going on. So I want you to know today that if there may be a lot of things that's going on in your life, and you may tell me, "Pastor, you don't realize what I'm going through. There is so much happening on every hand." I want you to know today it's not a surprise to God, for God sees everything that you're going through. You may say, "Well, I'm grieving a loss." Well, I want you to know God is right there in that loss. If you're dealing with health issues, God is right into that health issue. issue, whatever you're dealing with or whatever your circumstance may be, God is God and He is there with you. And guess what? We're to lean hard on Him and know that He is a God that will take us through. He will bring us through. If we're going through it, He's going to get us out of it, and He's going to move as He sees fit, and He's going to be God unto your heart and unto your lives. I want you to know today, this passage shows that it was the night of miracles. Our God is a God of miracles. In other words, we can't begin to understand, nor can we begin to grasp what God was doing, even in this passage as we see. But yet we see the promises of the prophets would be fulfilled. Because hundreds and hundreds of years before this took place, the prophets of old had said there would be a child. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a child has been given. And therefore we see Isaiah the prophet, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it took place, he prophesied and said there would be a Messiah. There would be a Lord Jesus Christ that would exist, and that He would come as man, and that He would live upon this earth. And folks, I want you to know, just as it was said then, is the same way now. God is with you and me today. I want you to know today that even in the long wait for the birth of the Savior was over, yet there was taxing that had to take place. The trip had to take place. The time had to take place. All worked towards the miracles that was about to take place. Everything was in sequence. Everything was orchestrated. Everything was done day in and day out. The birth was not only the night of the miracle, but the birth was in the stable. The birth was in the stable. The Bible says there was no room in the inn. Jesus was not going to come into a mansion or to a major throne or a major palace. God the Father planned it that way. He did not want His Son to come in to a major palace or come in to a major thing. He wanted Him to come in as humble and as low to let the world know that Jesus is coming, that He would be the Savior of the world, that He did not need anything glory to come into this world, because He was glory. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody knew that He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but guess what? God the Father, His Father knew who He was. His Father knew what He was going to do, and His Father knew that He would save the world through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom the Son sets free, as free indeed. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We're not serving a wimpy king. We're not serving something that we're just reading about and put it on the shelf as a book. We are serving a risen Savior. He was born in this world that He may die for you and I, that the blood would be shed upon Calvary's cross, that you and I would have victory today, that we can hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and know that the victory comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give God praise again in the house. Hallelujah. Listen, what a strange place for the birth of a great king. The manger was an unusual bed for the promised one. The bed was for animals to eat off of. It was for smelly, stinking animals to eat the trough from the trough. It was one of those things that you wouldn't put your baby in. You wouldn't put your grandchild in. You wouldn't put your child in. But guess what? God allowed it to happen to be put in the manger so that people would see the glory of what the Lord Jesus Christ was. Listen, I want you to know today, the manger, the messengers, the message were about the Christ child. Everything that took place, God the Father had planned it. Listen, I want you to know today, as we look back even in the Old Testament, they had priests. that had to go before God once a year for the atonements of the sins of the people. How that they had to offer blood sacrifice. How they had to offer up a lamb. How they had to offer up a lamb without blemish. How all that had to take place every year. But guess what? God's people still couldn't get it right. They still couldn't follow the law. They still couldn't get it. So what did God do? God said, I'm going to send my one and only sacrifice. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he will come and save the world and that the love would be shown abroad through this world. I want you to know today, my first point is this. The manger was his bed. The manger was his bed. The manger perfectly pictured Christ and his rejection. This manger perfectly pictures Christ and his rejection. They did not want to set him up in a nice place. They did not want anything to do with this child. They wanted to do everything they could to shun this child away, to shun Mary, to shun Joseph away. In other words, the Bible lets us know there was no room for him in the end. But the question today is there any room for him in your life? Is there any room in your life for him? Because apparently there was no room at the very end. That was the only thing was to get to a smelly stable. Listen, have you been shutting Christ out of your life? Have you been shutting him out of circumstance and situations in your life? Have you shut him out to where, I'll handle it, Jesus. I don't need you right now. I'm not in that bad of a shape. But when I get there, I'll call you when I need you. Listen, we can't call on Jesus when we need him. We need to call on Jesus day in and day out. We don't just call on Jesus on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We don't acknowledge our Lord and Savior just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We're to acknowledge him on Monday morning because he's allowed us to wake up. We're to acknowledge him on that night when we go to bed. We're to acknowledge him day in and day out. Do you have room for him every day of your life? Listen, the manger perfectly pictured Christ and his redemption. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the clothes of death. He was born to die. The Lamb of God laid in a manger which was pointed to the cross. One day he would die on a cross. Can you imagine a child that you may have? A grandparent having a child, and that child is coming forth, but then within years the child is to be crucified. You see, these were things that was not in Mary's mind. It was not brought upon Mary's mind. God was taking Mary step by step. God was taking Joseph step by step. He did not give her the full picture that your child would be crucified. He did not give them the picture of everything that they were going through. But guess what? He said, I will be with you. I will take you. I will strengthen you. I'll provide for you. I will take you step by step. That's the same way God does with us. God does not tell us everything that goes on. But God will provide, God will take care of us, and he will take you step by step all through your life to the very end when you give your last breath. You see, that's the God that we serve. The Lamb of God laid in a manger, pointed to the cross. The manger perfectly pictured the availability of Christ for all, considering all of the gospel. Listen, God could relate to all in the world. You see, there'd be some, if he came in a palace, he couldn't relate to some. But he came in a manger because he can relate to all. That's the lowest of the low. That's where animals eat food from the trough. This is where Jesus laid his head. Romans 8, Romans 3 and 23 says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53 and 6, "All were like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah was pointing towards Jesus Christ. Isaiah was pointing that everything would be laid upon Jesus, that all iniquity would be placed on him, knowing the child is in the stable, knowing that the child is set on a bed of hay, knowing that a child is coming into this world, but he would literally be the Savior of this world. Christ will receive all who will come to him. John 6 and 37 says this, John's gospel, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." In other words, Jesus and His mercy and His grace accepts us through all that you and I go through. My second point today is the messengers were of heaven. The messengers were of heaven. Shepherds, common men, watched over their flocks by night. It was a night like so many other nights, yet different. And yet the angel of the Lord appeared, and all were changed. The angel of the Lord appeared, and they all were changed. God had the attention of these men, and they would never, ever be the same. Can you imagine being a shepherd over a herd? Years and years and years, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to you out of nowhere, out of midair, and you have not seen anything changed over the years. Even as a young lad, growing up as a man, you're still herding sheep. And all of a sudden, you see an angel that says, "Do not be afraid." It changed them forever. Not just that one moment. It changed them forever. In other words, it stuck in their minds. They not just didn't hear about it, but they physically saw it. Sometimes God wants to show us. He'll tell us through His Holy Spirit, but there's sometimes that God will literally show us what we need to be doing. God will allow people into our lives to encourage us. God will allow things to happen in our lives to let us know. God will allow things to happen to warn us. You see, God does things in mysterious ways. And a lot of times we don't understand the ways of God. It's never. Our ways are not His ways. They're far past finding. How unsearchable, God's Word says, how unsearchable are His ways. They are far past finding. You cannot understand. You don't know. But all that you know is that you walk with God. You trust God. You walk by faith, just as Joseph, just as Mary did. They did not know what they were about to step into. They did not know what was going on. They were taking one moment by one moment by one moment at a time. And that's the way you and I are to do today. We're to take one moment, one day at a time. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to worry about next month. We don't even need to worry about next year, because guess what? God will take care of us. God will provide for you. God says, if you'll fully surrender unto me, I will be your Lord and Savior in your life. Listen, the Bible lets us know that the message, what was the Christmas message? What was the Christmas message? Listen, there are good works for even trembling times. We can give our fears to the one born in the stable. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says this, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. The shepherds found the Savior in the stable just as the angel had said. In other words, the angel said, listen, there's a child being born. Listen, go to where that child's at. Understand, you need to take this journey. Yet what a good example that these shepherds became that night. They heard the message. They heeded the message. They hurled to the message. And clearly it lets us know that we must hear what the Lord is saying to us. We must heed to the message of the Word of God. We're not to take the Word away, but we are to get the Word and put the Word into our hearts and to our minds, that we are to sleep and eat and breathe the Word of God, that we must have God's Word in our hearts and in our lives. How that we need the message. Third, in my closing today, the message was for all, not for some. But the message was for all. Luke 2 and 10 says, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What was this Christmas message? The message was of a virgin-born baby. The message was of the promise that was being fulfilled. The message was the prophesied Savior being born. Yet the question is, what does this Christmas message mean to you today? What does the Christmas message mean to you? Is the message about getting everything you want of your heart's desire? Is it all getting what Santa Claus wants to give you? Is it all about what you want? How you want to be, how you want to do, where you want to go, what you want to be? Is it all about you, 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 you? It's very selfish for us to say what all we want. The question should be, God, what do you want? God, is there any room for you? Is there any room for Jesus today? Is there any room for God in our lives today? Are we crowding Him out with other things? Are we allowing other things to become our gods? And yet we don't have the true God in our hearts and lives. That we're chasing other dreams. We're chasing our adventures. We're chasing other things. Things that don't amount to a hill of beans. When we need to be looking to the substance, and that we're needing to look at the heart core of our hearts and life, and for us to not look from the outside in, but for us to look from the inside in and say, Jesus, I want that change in my life. Lord, I want that gift of eternal life in my life. I want the redemption, Lord. I want to be saved by grace. Lord, I want what You've got because You bled and died for me to have the life that I need in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. What does it mount? The Bible says if you gain the whole world, and you lose your own soul. What will a man give in exchange for his own soul? What good is all this stuff? It's nothing but stuff. Cars, houses, fame, glory. That's nothing because it's going to be nothing but dust one day. You can't take none of this to heaven. It's going to go right to the ground, or it's going to go over somebody else for them to fight about. But what is important is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to know that He was born for us that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Because when it all shakes down, everything that you have, everything that you own, is nothing but going back to dust or for somebody to fight over. But listen, what counts is that you know Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. And should you leave this life today, or should you leave next week or next month or next year, is to know that you know the Savior. I can read about Him all day long. I can look about Him all day long. I can talk about Him all day long, but until I make the personal relationship with Him, until I make Him Lord and Savior of my life, then none of the reading, none of the talking about, none of the preaching amounts to anything until I receive Him and accept Him and live a life accordingly to the Word of God, and to live the best of my knowledge and my ability. That's when God becomes God in my life and in your life, when you fully surrender to His Lordship. Hallelujah. Because none of this stuff mounts to anything. And what mounts is that we know Jesus Christ. And listen, the Bible clearly lets us know that we've got to make things right. We've got to make things right. Listen, when my sister was giving her last breath and she was dying, she looked at me with an air mask on and she says, "Tim," she says, "is there anything that I've ever said or I've ever done to offend you?" She says, "I want to make things right today. I want to make things right." And I said, "Sis," I said, "there is nothing that you have ever said, there's nothing that you have ever done that you have to apologize for anything." And I looked at her and I said, "Sis, I'm going to say the same thing back at you. If there's anything I've ever said or if I've ever done to you to make you offended or anything that I've done wrong, I said, I want you to forgive me." She said, "There's nothing." And folks, when you have that kind of relationship and when you're making things right, see, God gave her the time and the opportunity to make things right. But sometimes God doesn't give everybody the opportunity to make things right. Sometimes you don't have time to make things right because things happen and things take place. But my point today is this: make sure it's right with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you've got a relationship with Him. Make sure that you're communicating with the Lord. Don't communicate with social media. Don't communicate with somebody that's going to blab their mouth about you and all the things that you're dealing with. Go to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer and say, "Jesus, You know all about it. I don't need my information to be broadcast, but Lord, I'm taking it to the cross, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm leaving it at the foot of the cross. And Lord, at the cross is where I draw my strength. That's where I bring in what needs to be brought in to my life, is at the cross." And every one of us, including your pastor, we have to go by the way of the cross. The cross is the one. Why? Why, Pastor? Because all iniquity, all sin, everything was placed on the cross for you and I, that we can live a life of forgiveness, that we can live a life of freedom, that we can live a life to know that we can be restored and our families can be restored and we can be restored back to the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, what does this Christmas message mean to you today? Listen, the manger, born Lamb of God, died for you and I. Died for sinners. Like the shepherds, let us herald
And let us herald to the news to all. Let us heed to the news to all. Let us take in what God has brought unto us, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Stand with me across the building today. Hallelujah. 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 God does not want not a one to suffer, nor to die without Him.